Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 264. Coming out of the draft weekend, a little instant reaction. See if we've got any satisfaction. You heard it right. That was FF underscore spaceman here. I was troubled with, like, am I going to use this intro? Because one of the agreements in having Dave on was, he was like, you cannot use this to sell tickets. It's got to be just kind of hidden. Like, I don't want it. So we can't have it in the title. We can't have it anywhere on Podbean. But I figured we'd sneak that in. I don't know if we met the contract agreement. We are here, as always, with the feverish Fanero, back from Vegas himself. Really, I feel like I've been all alone, and now I'm joined by the feverish Fanero and at FF underscore spaceman himself. What better way to come out of the draft weekend for some not so instant reaction? We've had some time to let it soak in. How the hell are you guys feeling?
Dude, I'm so excited. Like, we had all this opportunity between the draft and now to communicate, where normally you and I are doing this like almost live. Like, we're getting our immediate reactions. We're having a good time doing it. And this year we had to wait, which is kind of cool. Like, we had to wait to jump on the mic to talk about this. So I'm so excited about that. Then you throw in the spaceman, who has to be pantless because he must be excited as well.
Took his top off.
So, I mean, yeah, dude, I'm super excited about this episode.
Dave, how the hell have you been? Welcome back.
Guys, it's a pleasure to be back. Blown away to hear the, you know, the vacated targets back in the intro. I've been listening since I've been gone, you know, big fan of the show still, and having my agent could make this happen, you know? Like I know that no promotions and all that stuff, but I'm glad we could get this worked out.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. He's a stickler, to say the least, but pleasure to have you here, Dave, to talk about what's going on. I think before that, though, really quick, I did want to mention that recently I hopped on, and I know I'm going to throw this to you, Fanero, but I hopped on Dynasty Nerds GM, and I noticed that I have no Michael Carter shares. It's a great tool just to make sure.
That's awesome. I haven't used that yet to see, like, the winners and losers of the NFL draft, because it's not just these rookies, right? There's ancillary pieces. And I'm sure we'll have an episode coming up where we talk about the winners and losers across the league. But yeah, no, I have not used DynastyNerds.com for that yet, but there are plenty of other uses. A Nerd Herd membership also includes, of course, an extra Dynasty Nerds podcast each week, access to the Rookie Prospect Film Room, which I'm a huge fan of. I've mentioned on the show several times, which is why I don't like Christian Watson. Dynasty Nerds Rookie Nerd Scores, which is exclusive, obviously, to Dynasty Nerds, which is all tape study, which is also cool. I like people to watch more tape than me and tell me what they think. And, of course, their exclusive Dynasty Rankings, Debbie Rankings, and IDP. We don't mention IDP too much. There was a lot of IDP players, selected in this rookie draft. I know some that I was pretty excited that both the Detroit and the Giants picked, which we won't talk too much about on this show, but yeah, so all you have to do to get 15% off any membership, and one of the monthly membership is less than a cup of coffee, is just type in Fever, promo code Fever, and save 15% off any level membership.
What a get for Dynasty Nerds to get the number one rookie podcast out there. Congratulations, guys, for getting all those rookie profiles done. You guys crushed it. Thanks for having my guy, Todd Foster, on. He had a blast. He has not stopped talking about how much fun he had. And then Nathan GN had a blast too, guys. Honestly, from start to finish,
both of those shows were great, great listens. I noticed neither of those were shows that I hosted, which I usually enjoy more too. But honestly, both of those were great listens and completely underfollowed analysts.
Yeah, I agree.
As well as you, Fanero, Dave, everybody. I mean, honestly, but completely underutilized analysts. And those were two awesome shows, two very well-spoken individuals. I enjoyed those shows a lot.
And I've also enjoyed hearing, for some reason, all kinds of Rookie Profile podcasts on other shows. So that's a homage to you guys.
Thanks,
and what you guys have been doing with the Rookie stuff. And I'm just, I can't say it again. I am so, it feels like, I'm sure it has felt like a lot, but it feels like nothing's changed. I'm so excited to get going here, guys. So thanks again for having me on.
There's only one cure for the real fever, though, Dave, and that's right here. And that's why you're with us tonight.
I got the fever. I need the medicine.
But those Rookie Fever player profiles, though, those are awesome. And, like, honestly, we could not do those without the help of everybody else and people around the community. The scale of people that helped us on that, and we had a few new people came in. You mentioned Nathan and Todd, but it's just awesome. And all of them are here and excited to do it. And I think that that's another part of the formula, as well as, like we've mentioned many times, letting them pick their players.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of behind the curtain, but I already have people that have been on with us asking if they can come on again next year. So guess there's a little popularity even with the guests.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little instant reaction. We haven't heard from Dave in a while. and we got to know, like, what's going on, Dave? Like, want to be ballers, shot callers? Like, what's going on here? Risers, fallers?
I think the biggest thing, I know it's probably everyone's been talking about the entire draft, was just the quarterbacks and what that has done for the free fall in Superflex rookie drafts and what that has meant. Some people are sticking to their guns with some of these quarterbacks. Who isn't? It has made a very spicy first couple of days in rookie drafts. And I think that was one of the big takeaways. And then the wide receivers going, and the six wide receivers going to the top 18 picks. I think those are my two instant reactions of just like, holy cow, what an exciting first round. So that was part of it right there for me.
I know you guys are in a ton of rookie drafts. I'm in two. Okay, cool. I'm in two as well. Where do you see Kenny Pickett going?
I think it was 106 and 108. I can pull those up. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So for me, like that's an interesting thought, right? So he's the only first round QB, and in Superflex, obviously that is valuable. Top 20 pick. Beautiful landing spot, I would think. I think Pittsburgh's a really solid organization. And
106 and 107.
Yeah, so right around, okay. In that league where I think you're seeing it, one of them is a league we're both in, I believe, Swags. And in that league, I did give some thought at 103. I really did. That's a league where I don't really have a second quarterback, which it's an orphan league for those listening. I would always have a second quarterback. I usually have three. So I hate the fact that I only have one. It's a good one. It's Patrick Mahomes, but still, it's a rough place to be. But I had to, and this is where I'll kind of transition from the quarterbacks. I had to go Garrett Wilson there. He was my wide receiver one coming in.
And so that was actually a 104.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? 106?
103.
Oh, okay, 104.
And I took Drake London at 103.
Yeah, so Wilson was Garrett Wilson was my wide receiver one coming in, and he's my wide receiver one now. So
nice.
At 104, I just felt too inclined to pull the trigger there for that wide receiver one spot.
Yeah, and just to go back to the quarterbacks, I had my first one started on the last day of the draft, and Kenny Pickett went 203, so he really fell. And he was actually the third quarterback taken at 203, which was kind of also
the third quarterback at 203. That does surprise me a lot.
Yeah, it was crazy.
He's the third.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it was Malik and Ridder.
Actually, no, I'm mistaken. Fourth quarterback, Malik Corral and Desmond Ridder all went back to back to close out the first round. Hmm. And then Kenny Pickett went 203.
That's weird. That's some of the take lock at its finest.
Yeah. How soon after the draft was that, Dave?
So we start, there was no clock, but like the middle of round six or something. We just, let's turn the clock on and let's go.
Wow.
But I mean, we were at the point that we had established that at least every NFL team had at least a couple chances to make what we're calling a foreseeable starting quarterback their backup, and they didn't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be clear, that's what happened in the NFL draft. These teams didn't even want to take them at a backup price that we've seen players like Jacob Eason go. I think there's more Jacob Easons in this draft than there are. Then I'm trying to think of another crappy guy. Like, you know, there's more Jacob Eason's than, let's say, Gardner's, and there's more Gardner's than Kirk Cousins, and there's more. It's just, you know, my problem with Kenny Pickett is if I'm going to spend that kind of draft capital, especially like 104, let's say, where you were debating on it, you're telling me you could go get Jared Goff for that.
That's the, honestly, Swags, that's why I pulled out, because I sat there and I thought about it. I have depth at other positions where I feel like I can just I can get a quarterback. To it's me, not going to be Pickett, a sexy quarterback.
Kenny Pickett offers a similar security that you would get from Mitch Trubisky, but you have to pay about a first round pick, whereas you can go get Mitch for a second and you can just throw it up in the air and you have no freaking idea what's going to happen.
Right, right.
I'm not saying I believe in Mitch. This is not an endorsement, to be clear, but the risk is very similar. And I don't know if I want to put a first round pick to fix a problem. I'd rather just go wide receiver and worry about it next year, making different trades.
Yeah. No, actually, I definitely spent more time trying to get back in after the 104 than I spent thinking about Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised, though, by Dave's draft where he saw all those other quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's just odd. I mean, you're always going to have like a strange situation, but that one feels extra strange to me. But
you know, it's just a lot of teams have put themselves in a situation to where they need these quarterbacks to hopefully hit in order to have that, because we thought it was really going to offer us that kind of hope. And we thought guys like we're going to lose jobs. We saw that coming. We thought you were going to feel worse about Drew Lock at this point, Jared Goff, you know, and trades could happen still, but some of that stuff just didn't happen. And now people are like, wow. Like, I mean, if you think Malik Willis is just going to go in there and take the job from Ryan Tannehill, you're wrong.
We've gotten spoiled in Superflex over the, like, you know, the last 10 years or so. People who are, need to rebuild, retool, and acquire more assets, they're like, all right, I'll trade one of these big QBs, get a bunch in return, and then I'll pick one of these early QBs in the draft. And they were counting on that. We've been counting that year after year, if you think about it. There's always been some of these top QBs to go, and that just wasn't the case. First time in, what, since 20 years that there was only one quarterback in the first round? I don't know, but I think we just gotten a little bit spoiled that you could just counting on, hey, weak at quarterback, I can just go back in the rookie draft where they're always the cheapest. You always hear that they're cheapest in rookie drafts and in the startups, and it just wasn't the case this year.
Yeah.
Swags, do you remember late March, our Ish, Wish, and Feverish episode?
You would have to reference what you're talking about.
Yeah, but you remember the episode.
Yeah,
you could just say, yes, I remember that episode. in that episode, I had a wish. And in that wish, I had two players. My wish was that Brian Robinson and Damian Pierce got either second or third round draft capital and good landing spots. I got three quarters of my wish. So we got Brian Robinson did get that third round capital and Washington as a landing spot. And then Damian Pierce, nine picks later at the top of the fourth. So he just misses the third of my wish, but lands in Houston. Wonderful landing spot. I was curious what you guys thought about Brian Robinson and Damian Pierce climbing up draft boards.
Go ahead, Dave.
Brian Robinson is a huge target for me. As soon as that second tier of wide receivers are gone, I am desperately trying to get back up into that second round to get Brian Robinson. And I was in a draft, my second draft, not the Kenny Pickett draft, another draft, one of my two that I've only had two. But that second one, I was able to, after literally seven picks in a row, I offered two future firsts and a 24 second to try to get in. I kept on getting rejected. And then eventually I was just like, all right, I give up. And then he fell to me at 303 and I was ecstatic.
That's awesome.
He's my RB. He's my RB3 in this class now. RB4. No, RB4. Brian Robinson. So I love that. I loved his landing spot.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That gets tough for me, though. I think I'd almost rather have Damian Pierce a little bit.
I'm Pierce over Robinson now. I've been Robinson over Pierce. I think, so my pre-draft rankings were Hall, Walker, Spiller, Zamir White, James Cook, Robinson, Pierce. And now Cook has moved up, Spiller's moved down, and Pierce is right up there with them. So, like, for me, like, it's Pierce then Robinson.
Cook's a tough one for me.
He's tough, right? He's going before, so I'll never get him. You know what I mean? Like, he's going too early now.
Mm-hmm. He's in that area where, I'm just kind of like, I'd rather just kind of trade back.
He's expensive now. He's expensive now.
But I like the idea of Brian Robinson, though. I think that if Antonio Gibson teams aren't concerned about that, I think they're not being honest with themselves. And yeah, so, you know, I'm kind of into that. But I also don't mind Spiller, though. And I think that he could fill a role that, I mean, we've heard it a lot, though, but the Chargers are looking for. I think that there's a role there for him that they're looking to fill. And I think that they got a deal on Spiller. It was too bad to see him fall, so that gives you a little bit of concerns when you're drafting him. But one thing you want to remember is, to me, like, these third, fourth, and fifth round running backs, in my head, they offer more certainty than like a third, fourth, or fifth round quarterback that we're trying to find hope in, honestly. Like, that's very telling. I mean, those are the ranges where these running backs we're talking about right now fell in the areas we thought they would.
Yeah.
You know absolutely. What I mean? They didn't slip outside of Spiller. They didn't slip and Cook moved up, you know, but the quarterbacks fell.
Yeah. So quarterbacks obviously are what is going to make our rookie drafts seem so blah, right? Because the quarterbacks usually push talent down and we don't have that this year. But what we do have in the real NFL draft is an influx of talent, meaning because of the COVID year, there were more players, more talented players in this NFL draft, even if in fantasy we don't feel that way. I'm talking about IDP players. I'm talking about depth pieces. That includes these running backs. So I've decided this year and this year only, I've always described the Mason-Dixon line as a third and fourth round. And I always want my running backs to be in the second and third round for me to have high interest. I'm going to include the fourth round for that reason, because I feel like there's a lot of talent. Pierce, Zamir, Spiller, and your boy, Swags, Hassan Haskins.
Mind that spot.
I love that spot for Hassan Haskins. I just grabbed Haskins in the, I think it was like late third of a draft. Thought of you, Swags. Have not been able to get any Damian Pierce yet because people are hot to him. So he's getting a little expensive and he's hard to get. But I agree with you with Spiller 100%. I do really like that landing spot. Doesn't seem like others do. So that could mean I get me some Spiller. I absolutely think I can get me some Hassan Haskins. I don't know why, because it seems like people are down on Henry. I'm a little surprised on how Haskins is that easy to get. But yeah, I'm including the fourth round this year. I can't ignore Pierce, Zamir White, Spiller, and Hassan Haskins in the fourth. I'm going to call that third round talent this year.
Since Melvin Gordon left LA or San Diego at the time after the 2019 season, they've invested a fourth round pick in Joshua Kelly. And then the following year in 2021, they invested a sixth round pick, not much, in Larry Roundtree. They obviously are trying to fill that hole since Melvin Gordon left. People were ecstatic about Isaiah Spiller before the draft. And that role is a sexy role. I know Austin Eckler dominated last year in that position, but he's getting another year older. He's not the biggest guys. I think that's something to be excited about. And he's sliding.
Role Austin Eckler even wants to be playing.
I agree.
So yeah. I think that's exciting. I know people are disappointed because he was supposed to be in that top three. He was top two even before the combine. Some people had him as their RB1. Mm-hmm.
If I told you right now they were going to have a 50-50 timeshare, are you all in?
I don't think that's crazy on the ground, you know. And the thing that Austin Eckler owners understand is how valuable he is in the PPR game. They seem to forget that when we're talking about the addition of another running back and what Austin Eckler actually does on the ground versus what an actual workhorse type. And I'm not saying he's going to get that kind of load, but that kind of build, that's what they're looking for to fill that void. Like, Austin Eckler is not a 1,000-yard on the ground type running back. He just isn't. That's not who he is. He's a PPR guy.
And then bringing James Cook back into it, because you guys were talking about having trouble with James Cook. People are he's going the first round. People are ecstatic having him paired with Josh Allen. But why not be excited about having Justin Herbert as your quarterback, who actually targets running backs more? Look how much he targets Eckler. And that role has been proven to be a valuable role in the past. And I know the Bills haven't had the best running backs in the past, but that's something I think that's a nice pivot point, an arbitrage play, especially if you take out what happened in the NFL draft and you think about what our notions were before the NFL draft and before the combine. Guys, I think this is it's a glaring mistake right now in rookie drafts, just how different people are treating James Cook and Isaiah Spiller.
Yeah. In the second there, I'd like as many like random seconds as I could kind of get to just kind of throw those dart throws at the running backs in that area that some of the guys were referring to, because outside of James Cook, and that's more because of the capital you have to pay, just to throw a few darts at, because I think some of them are going to really get an uptick in value and production throughout the season.
So in the one of the two drafts I'm in, we're at the 312 now, and we had Cook go at 111 and Isaiah Spiller go at 208. So almost a whole round difference.
Yep. I have 2 shares of Drake London already and 2 shares of Jameson Williams already.
So Drake London is your wide receiver one now, right, after landing spots? I think I saw enough evidence of that.
Well, you know, that was really tough for me, Finero. I have to take out a lot of, like, homerism. I've talked to you and Dave a lot on the side about feeling like I'm going to leave with – I'll probably be overdrafting Jameson Williams this year. But Drake London is the guy that I wanted in Detroit. So yep. Coming into the draft, he was my wide receiver one. The draft capital showed it. I think he's also in a great spot for his future. It would be silly for me to let that landing spot, plus the injury to Jameson Williams at this point, go above Drake London just because I'm a Lions fan. You know what I mean? So yeah. I love – the thing I like about Jameson Williams outside of being like a homer play right there, I like Williams a lot, but Detroit – invested to move up. Like, they showed that. I mean, we were offering a first round pick and third round pick supposedly for Debo. We gave a first and a second and more for Jameson Williams to get him at that pick. Dan Campbell sounds really excited. We showed that we are excited about him, and that definitely gets you excited about a player you already like that is now on your home team. But yeah, I do have to keep Drake London above Jameson Williams, as tough as it is because of the homerism. But I feel like that would be wrong of me to advise or to do to my teams. I don't want my heart to be taking too much hold, you know, throughout the process.
Does that make Garrett Wilson your third wide receiver then?
I think so. That's a tough one. Like, this is like Garrett Wilson and Jameson Williams are pretty similar to me.
Gotcha. Okay.
And at that point, like, I think I'd just rather move back and try to get.
You're happy Jameson either Williams. Way.
Yeah.
You're happy either way.
And I can probably get a little bit on top. You know what I mean? Like, gotcha. You took Garrett Wilson at 104. I just got him at Jameson Williams at 107.
Right.
And I like Treylon Burks too, you know? So I like those top wide receivers in this draft a lot. I like the top two running backs. The top part of this draft is still really nice. It's just we're not getting our running backs and quarterbacks the depth that we really like. We're getting more dart throws. You know, we mentioned some of those running backs we like, but there's no certainty there. You know, we're still hoping that they show up and pay off, you know.
Yeah, speaking of showing up and paying off, I Jahan Dotson and Sky Moore, they were two guys that I thought I could get early second or even mid second, and you just can't anymore. Like, their draft capital and their landing spots have dictated otherwise.
I've seen Sky Moore go 104. Not in any of my drafts, but in somebody else's.
Yeah, I got him at 109.
He's shaking his head yes too.
I got him at 109 here. Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? I know Dynasty community in general was pretty high on Sky Moore, but I think it was more of a more of a popular kid in school rather than like the whole like this is not the top tier talent. This is a guy that I want later in drafts. And again, later isn't like third round or anything. Does that, going back to that episode, Ish, Wish, and Feverish, I told you I was going to be hot on any wide receiver that went to New England, Green Bay, or Kansas City. But I stipulated that and said somebody that I was high on prior, right? So Christian Watson, I was not high on prior. So, like, I'm not going to own any Christian Watson, especially now that he's gone to Green Bay. Now, is he in the best possible position to succeed, like, and make me wrong? Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball. I might be wrong now. I don't know. But I'm still not going to be able to draft him because I wasn't high on him anyway. Sky Moore is somebody I did really want to draft, but he's so expensive now. I think that's another guy that's not going to be on any of my teams. And New England might have drafted the fastest wide receiver at the combine at a 4.28, Traquan Thornton, but I wasn't interested in him at all before the draft. I'm not interested in him now. Any of those guys moving the needles for you too? Do you think he's going to wind up on any of your dynasty rosters?
Go ahead, Dave. I feel like you haven't talked too much.
Oh, no. I'm just taking it all in. I'm trying to enjoy the moment, you know. Before I know it, the show's going to be over with. I'll be like, hell no, you know. So I'm trying to just soak it all in. But Tyquan, no.
He didn't even say his name. Tyquan, no.
No. And then, like, I guess Sky, it's kind of weird to me going back to the Dynasty part. Dynasty managers are more excited to draft Sky Moore than Kansas City was. They trade up for all kinds of players in the first round. They did all kinds of moving around, got all kinds of players. They even traded back with New England, and three other wide receivers went off, and then they took Sky Moore. So it's just kind of funny how the Dynasty community is just more excited than KC was to get Moore. And then, mind you, I actually traded to go get Sky Moore at 110 in a draft. One of my drafts, but, and I like him, but I don't, I want to be part of, I want to be part, you know, have a piece, you know, try to enjoy the ride in KC, but I don't see him being in the same, some people are putting in the same breath. You know, you're talking about 104, 106, 108. That's the same breath as Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson, Drake London. That's, or Olave. And I just don't see, I don't know how you can get a guy from the MAC who's 22 and has, I don't know how you can get that excited. Now, I think he could surprise us, but, remember how people got with who's the guy who was supposed to be the Tyreek Hill replacement there, who's disappointed? Speed guy running.
Mecole Hardman?
Yeah, Mecole Hardman. Like, people were, I feel like people were even more excited about Sky Moore than they were Mecole Hardman, but I don't know.
Guys. I can see Kansas City just spreading the ball out more. Like being, you know, yeah, like
they've
Mahomes,
got Juju,
like,
they've yeah, got Marcus Bezos-Scantling.
I think MVS could succeed quite well there. It could be very boom and bust, but I think like between those three or four wide receivers that we just mentioned, I feel like there's going to be enough like spreading the ball out where like we're going to understand where the Tyreek Hill production went. It's going to be spread out, and I think that's what Kansas City is okay with. I think Kansas City
understand just how special Tyreek Hill is.
Oh, we're going to know that regardless. I agree. But I think basically what I'm trying to say is I think Kansas City knows how to win without him. I think that's what they're trying to build.
And it does not mean more before everybody else did. And I don't mean that like I liked him before everybody right. else, but I liked him before everybody else was so excited about him. He was starting to gain interest. But yeah, I'm with you. Like at that point of the draft, after Jameson Williams is gone, and assuming like he in that 107 to 108 area,
yep.
I'm done. I'm ready to see what I can do to move out of the round, to be honest with you, move back into that like Damian Pierce area, to be honest with you, and obtain extra picks, whether it's in the future or not. But like the draft you and I are in together now, I'm excited to see what happens these next few picks, but I'm not trying to hop in these next five picks here. It'll cost too much for what I think I'll get back.
Right.
And I'm expecting like Sky Moore to probably go here. Within 108 to 109.
Sounds about right.
You know, and, so, yeah.
And please don't use this against me, guys, but sometimes, just occasionally, football and fantasy football happens outside of a spreadsheet. I know that's blasphemy, but you could see last year, actually even times the year before, when defenses took the big play out of the Kansas City offense, they could stall. There were long stretches. That first half of it was the AFC Championship game when they made that huge comeback. When you stopped that big play and you couldn't let them get going, that offense struggled. And it happened even more last year. And I think that's what they're trying, when they're bringing in Juju, they brought in a discounted deep threat and paid a lot for him, but MVS comes in to try to keep the vertical element in the game. And then they also bring in Sky Moore in the second round. I think, and then they also have Travis Kelce, but I think it's pretty clear that they are not trying, they don't want to be too dependent on the big play or else that offense is going to struggle. So I think that's something we need to be aware of moving forward in that offense. And in Patrick Mahomes, too. If that big play isn't as prevalent in that offense, does that hurt Patrick Mahomes for super flex dynasty reasons?
Yeah. And I'll be quite honest, and we'll bring up Twitter really quick. I understand both sides of the argument when people say he's not Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he was actually talented. We liked him before the draft. And I get the side when people are like, you're doing the same things that you did to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I think maybe even Mecole Hardman's a better example of that.
He is.
But I get it. Like, yes, we were talking about Sky Moore, but when people say you're doing the same thing that you did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they're not comparing those talents or how we were about them through the process. So they're comparing what we're doing after landing spots and when we're getting overly excited because of a landing spot. If you can, like Finero said, 2 weeks ago or further out, like, and I'm not saying this is when you had it, Finero, but if you can say 2 weeks ago that I know I'm going to get overly excited about anybody that lands in Kansas City, be ready to not get overly excited about anybody that lands in Kansas City, because you're telling yourself, you know damn well, you're going to get too excited about the foreseeable future So just kind of like temper some expectations. And I mean, 104 is just too early for me. I think that you're just, it could happen. I get it. Like even these players that I'm saying, oh, I want out of the first round after 107, somebody's going to hit there. I'm going to miss on some players, you know, it could happen. But I mean, I'd just as soon have Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, all of those guys before Sky Moore.
People were panicking with Sky Moore in the draft. After those top six players went in the first 18 picks, there was all the first round, you're like, all right, this team needs a, there was a lot of those needy wide receiver teams that were there and everyone passed on them. And then you saw all these other secondary, what Christian Watson, Green Bay trade up for, oh my God, Sky Moore with Aaron Rodgers. No, they trade up for Christian Watson. And then again, then Kansas City trades back again and again, other wide receivers went. People were in full panic mode with Sky Moore. And I think that might be a little bit of a signal. I'm not saying to take a ton from it, but it was almost like people feel rescued. They're like, oh, thank goodness. He's still valuable. Now I don't think there's a ton of difference between where he went in the second round and where, if he had gone early in the second round or earlier in the second round, but I think people, you know, sometimes you got to go with your gut. And if your gut is telling you that, I think you've got to listen to it a little bit about that panic of, hey, why wasn't Sky Moore going earlier?
One of you briefly brought up Jahan Dotson. We didn't touch on that too much. How do you guys feel about the Washington landing spot for him?
It surprised me. Like, the draft capital surprised
me. Yeah, first round capital, right?
Yeah, that did. He's out of Penn State, so I've seen him. I do like the talent. He reminds me, oddly enough, he reminds me of Sky Moore, because like Dotson and Sky Moore like were kind of very similar in my rankings. So like the two of them, the biggest difference, right, is that the Dotson went so high. It was 16 overall to Washington, right? We're not talking about just a first round pick. First top 16 pick overall is really, really high. So it's kind of like what I was saying about Sky Moore. It's like, I like the player and I like the draft capital in that situation. I like the player and I like the landing spot in the other situation. As far as Washington goes, it's so tough for me, Swags, to answer that question, because I just don't really believe that Wentz is the long-term answer. And I feel like Washington's good enough to not really be, well, I mean, I don't know what kind of draft capital they have. I haven't looked that far ahead, but I don't know. I'm concerned about the quarterback situation over there to get excited about Dotson, which is like, for me, was like a mid-round second pick in rookie draft. So like, it's hard for me to get super excited about him. It doesn't mean that I won't draft him. I think actually what I've been seeing is people aren't overly excited, not like Sky Moore, about Jahan Dotson. So if you still like him, he's obtainable for sure.
Yeah. I don't hate that.
The numbers are when people get worried because he's the 4-year declare. He wasn't the early declare and all this stuff. But yeah. Sometimes you got to remember draft capital. It says a lot that he went that high. And then also, and the entire NFL, I know it only takes one team to fall in love with a player, but there was an obvious teardrop as there was no other wide receivers went off the board. I'm not sure how that role translates early in his career for fantasy production, but I think I'm totally fine with taking him at that 1-2 turn where I think that's pretty common for him to go there. I'm totally happy to, if I'm trying to get as many wide receivers from this draft class, which is a strength of this class. So I can start piling up some hits. Jahan Dotson is definitely, he's the last of that. He's the start of the new tier for me for the other quarterbacks who weren't in that first, like that, you know, we've already talked about Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Jameson Williams, and we haven't mentioned Olave, but he's kind of the first of the rest of those for me.
I think with the early declare stuff too, we do have to think about that COVID year. I mean, some people stayed a little longer because there was an insufficient year on the record. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I want to necessarily, because somebody...
Some people skipped the year and came out and had one of the best rookie seasons ever in 2021 too, though.
Yeah.
In Ja'Marr Chase. You know what I'm just saying? Like,
but I'm just saying, like, for those who are concerned about somebody staying in college one more year than they should have, like, you know, I just feel like you have to, like, take that with a grain of salt this year.
And that Big Ten, people, I'm not sure if they've forgotten, but with COVID, the Big Ten was screwed up. That you had Justin Fields lobbying, like, hey, we need games played, and begging the Big Ten to get some games played in for that season. And the Big Ten played less games. So, and Jahan Dotson, who had a later breakout, didn't really do much in those first 2 years. That I understand why he had to come back for that fourth year. So, yeah, I understand digging him a little bit, but prove something, NFL. So.
So do you, Dave, we'll start with you. Do you have a player that through the NFL draft that now you are trying to obtain that you maybe weren't so excited about before landing spots?
That's a really good question. I guess the first one that really pops up to me is...
Finero, I gave you more time to think about this, just so you know. I'm coming to you next.
Ty Davis Price, I think, is one of those players. He's only one real year of production, but he comes into San Francisco. You know, Trey Sermon's still there, and you got Elijah Mitchell still there, but they spent another third round capital here, and I think you got to... From the SEC, he's got not a great receiver, but he can catch the ball a little bit. And he was nowhere on my radar. When I say like, I didn't even have him ranked. I'm not even sure if I could have told you he was a running back in this class. And now he's at least on my radar and he's at like the bottom of that. Now I'm thinking at the bottom of that third, at the end of the third round, if I have a pick, that's kind of, so I know that's not like an exciting answer, but that's kind of, he was totally off my radar. Now I'm thinking about him.
Okay. That was an easy one for me, Swags. As soon as you asked the question, a name came to mind, but you went to Dave, and that's Alec Pierce. Easily second round draft capital surprised the shit out of me. Out of Cincinnati, going to a good situation in Indianapolis with a good wide receiver on the opposite side. Alec Pierce for sure is the first name that came to mind. He was somebody that I was aware of. He was somebody I was keeping an eye on. He was someone that I would possibly draft late and not be really excited about. Now he's somebody who's on my radar.
I see him drafted at 301 in the actual rookie draft that I finished, Finero.
Let me see.
You would bite on that.
Yeah, but the reason that I'm not going to bite on that, Swags, are two
301.
Names. Are two names I want to bring up that I think are being, they were undervalued before the NFL draft and they continue to be.
No. You're going way too far ahead. You're telling me you're excited about him, but 301 is too rich. I just want to like get an idea here before we get off Alec Pierce.
There's just other players in that range.
So it's just a little too rich?
I guess there's players I'm more excited about in that exact range.
Okay,
let's hear them. Is it time?
Well, I'm just curious because you started to get me excited about Alec Pierce, but then you're like, "Yeah, no, 301's too much." So I guess we're 304.
I wouldn't describe it as too much, Wags. I would describe it as in that exact range at that exact price. There's people I like more, two players. So I'm not saying that 301's too much. You said that. Let me know when it's my turn to talk.
I know. I said I wasn't that excited at 301.
Yeah, no, I think 301's great. I would get, you know, if my other two guys are not there at 301, I'd be very excited.
Okay. Who are your other guys?
Jalen Tolbert and David Bell are in that same exact range that I like both of them before this draft process more and even after. Those are two names that are falling in that range, if not after, that I will take before that.
Yeah, those guys are in this particular draft that I pulled up right after was David Bell, 302, wide receiver in Cleveland, and then 303 was Tolbert, wide receiver to Dallas. So right in that exact area.
That's why I wanted to bring him up.
And...
Should I say?
I think I'd rather have David Bell of that three. What, Dave?
Should I say that I'm ready to take David Bell at 108? That's like, wow. Like that's where I don't have, that's in my ranks. He's my eighth ranked player. I don't have to take him there. I actually, David Bell and Sky Moore were both on the board. I went up and someone then immediately took, I had sent an offer, but he didn't see it and he took Sky Moore. And I was like, no, I'll still offer that for that pick and Sky Moore. But I'm cool with taking Sky Moore first and like a little play the board and try to get David Bell as he falls in that second round. But I think it's a bad process to like say, hey, he could be Keenan Allen because that's kind of like his archetype, you know, uber producer, third round draft capital, like later, not first round draft capital, not necessarily uber athletic. I'm excited to see what Deshaun Watson can do with him because Deshaun Watson made things happen when he didn't have a ton in Houston. And what can he do with an Uber producer who broke out at age 18 and just smashed at Purdue? So I think that's exciting. Now I'm not taking 108, but I actually was in a draft and he did go at 108, but I'm cool with him like anywhere after, like I start to trade up around the 202, 203 to try to get him. I haven't had the opportunity, like no one's accepted that, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I reached out to Jason DiRienzo, who I did a rookie profile on David Bell with, and I asked him about the landing spot, and he said, I love it. He said, I just drafted him at 111.
Oh, wow.
In an IDP.
That's crazy. I mean, just a crazy difference. I'm not calling him crazy, but from 302 to 111, just that difference that you're seeing in some of these rookie
drafts. Yeah, so put the average somewhere in the middle. I'm real happy to get him in that range where Alec Pierce is going.
The next person in this draft, I'm curious how you guys feel about. I'm kind of surprised by this spot in this particular rookie draft, but Wandale Robinson went at 304. How do you guys feel about Robinson?
So he's a giant. Keep hearing how he's the Kadarius Toney replacement.
He's only 5'9". He's not that tall. He's not a giant.
Kadarius Toney hasn't done enough to be replaced.
There you go. I don't know, Swags, how I feel about Wandale Robinson. I didn't like him a ton going into the process. You asked me if the Giants wait until the third round, what wide receivers would be available. This was about a month ago, and Wandale Robinson was one of those names. Tolbert was another name. And I remember not being excited a month ago, and I'm not excited that he's a Giant now either. It doesn't mean that he can't be good. It doesn't mean he can't be exciting. I get why people will draft him about where he's being drafted with that second round draft capital, but I was a little surprised, and so were a lot of people, that the Giants drafted him that high. He went above Mechie. He went above George Pickens.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like a smart draft move by the Giants. It really doesn't. I feel like they could have got him later, but what do I know?
It's like taking Kadarius Toney in the first round.
Any chance this guy gets. Rondell Moore, Kadarius Toney, ping pong, ping pong.
I haven't said anything about Wandale Robinson. I think you go by Kenny Golladay, though.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea.
We're not that kind of show.
We can be. Rookies affect veterans.
He's like 10 years older than anyone we've talked about so far. No, I'm just kidding. He's not.
You mentioned Jason DiRienzo.
Yes.
And he was somebody I reached out to very quickly after Chicago drafted Velus Jones. Am I saying his name right?
Sure. I think so.
A little bit of an older guy they drafted. Supposed to be fast, and they're going to try to pair him with Darnell Mooney. It sounds like more of a returner. He said he was surprised by the pick. Now that
when you
it
say
happens,
little
he
older,
gets it.
He's not little older. He's 24. He'll be 25 yeah. when the season starts. Well, yeah. he's already in the decline in dynasty standards.
Yeah, he hasn't hit yet. But another one I was a little bit surprised with, just for who was on the board. I was surprised Chicago didn't do more for Justin Fields.
It was upsetting. It was upsetting that they didn't do anything for Justin. Not only was it surprising, it was upsetting because. So the fear, you know, the rookie quarterback, when they struggle in year, or they don't smash and they don't have Justin Herbert, when they're not Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. and they struggle that first year, you really need to see something that year too. And they don't add anything besides the punt returner extraordinaire or the kid. He's like a special teams ace.
Right.
He's 25. Like, and it's because then what happens is like, oh, so we have to wait another year with Justin Fields to try before he gets some weapons. You got to sign a big time free agent, or you got to wait for a rookie to develop. So then they invest in a rookie, then a year or two, and now we're year four, year five before they get him a weapon. I know that I'm being a little dramatic here, but that's really upsetting. I'm pissed.
Yeah, it's asking a lot from Darnell Mooney, an absolute lot.
Yeah, I mean we've been worried about what Chicago had the ability to do. Around Justin Fields with the salary cap, the all the free agents they had leaving, probably because of the salary cap, and then the lack of draft capital. I mean, they weren't really enabled this year to help him out much. So this isn't really a huge surprise. But you're right. To your point, again, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Velus, I'll do Velus. Like, this is how well we know, and you know I'm rookie fever. Like, all we're doing is looking at these guys coming in. They passed on Tolbert, which is a name I like. They passed on David Bell. You know, I don't get it, you know? I don't get it.
It's confusing, man. Do you think there's a chance? Dave, go ahead, because I'm taking us a little bit of a different direction.
No, I just kind of wanted to circle back to Wandale Robinson just really quickly. And I just wanted to say, too, before the combine, people were treating Wandale in the same breath as Sky Moore. People were excited about Wandale before the combine. I know he came a little smaller, wasn't as fast. But to me, from a number standpoint, those things don't matter as much, especially athleticism does not matter as much for wide receivers. And to see an NFL team to feel similar and to invest in that, I'm actually kind of excited. I'm not, you know, he's not one away near one away to David Bell, but I'm totally fine with taking the second half of the. So he's my pick. Well, let's see here, real quick. I'm okay with taking him. Like, yeah, anytime after he's like my rookie 18. I'm anytime in that second half of the second round. I'm totally cool with going with that. So now I'm not excited about the pick. I'm just saying, hey, he checks boxes, and let's see if he doesn't happen. Now, I think for a lot of those players at that point, you have to be prepared for them not to hit, because that's just how this draft is. I don't think we've kind of mentioned that. I know we get excited about the Hassan Haskins, and I really liked him too. Mm-hmm. Like Swag, so I'm really excited to see
that
you
like him. No, I'm with you. Yeah.
So I think that's just sometimes, like, we have to be realistic about how this draft. I mean, Swags is out after the 107. I know you're not out, but after the 107.
So, well, the problem is at that point, I don't even want to say I'm out, but there becomes this weird tier where it just kind of starts to blend in a little bit. And I'm just kind of like, okay, give me the end of it. Give me what you don't take and eliminate some of my options. Let me see what you don't like and get a few more of them. And maybe one of mine hit.
That's well said. And I think we probably share the same feeling you have. Like, I think you're right. I think there's a top tier. And then after that tier, that it's kind of pick your poison. Like, we heard David Bell go as late as the late first, and I'm mm-hmm. picking him up in the early third. Like, that, to your point, like, it's kind of like, you know, who were you into? Because at this point, like, if they're all kind of in the same pool.
Yeah. And then I hear think about how good you feel. And I'm not even trying to throw shade, but think about how good you feel if you're in Dave's Superflex draft, where all three of the quarterbacks we want the least go before Kenny Pickett. And then you the talent that falls to you at that point.
Yeah.
Is absurd.
That second round for them became like what we experienced in the first round last year. All this talent got pushed down in that second round.
And maybe even some of our like second round, because you know what I mean? Like some of these guys aren't. I mean, I'm seeing like Desmond Ridder went 112. That surprised me a little bit. Do you guys think a healthy Marcus Mariota keeps that job all season?
It's possible. I think it's 50-50.
I think he does.
I think they want him to. So, yeah, I think it's more likely that they will. I'll go 65-35 that he keeps it.
You guys know this because I'm pants off a lot. And when I'm pants off, you will see all my Marcus Mariota tattoos. I am a serious truth. I still think he should be better than at least 10 other starters in this league. I really like Marcus Mariota. Now the problem with Atlanta was actually they won too many games last year, and I don't know how they did it. They kind of just scrambled together some wins, and that's how, like, you know, what are they picked London at 8. And so that, they don't feel like they have a team that has any talent to get to be the 8th worst team. You know, I'm trying to think of how that works.
But it was, you know, all through Cordell Patterson.
Yeah. Hey, so that tells me, like, hey, if they continue, like, through good, maybe hopefully good coaching, they've added some defensive players, and that team surprised a little bit, why not? If Marcus Mariota stays healthy, I think the big thing is he's got to stay healthy. And that, I'm not sure if he can. But then you think about, like, the more realistic outcomes of them struggling. They didn't, you know, building your team through wide receivers and tight ends. What really happens is they struggle. They're not doing well. They've got to turn to the rookie. That coach has got to worry about his job. You got to turn about and try to get some magic happening and try to get some excitement around the franchise. I think more times than not that it goes to Desmond Ridder. But I my heart wants Mariota to be the quick QB.
But the most important question is, where is on your body your favorite Marcus Mariota tattoo?
Well, you have to ask the wife. She knows. I'm not sure if I can say it on the air here.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Swag's
mind. That was still pretty revealing. Pretty revealing. What about some guys that you're not as interested in that you thought you would be? Can't be a quarterback.
Yeah. There's a long list of those.
I think that's why so many people are sour. I think that if, like, people would have had three first round quarterbacks, even two, to kind of watch throughout the NFL draft and to speculate being top tier talents in their rookie drafts, I think people wouldn't be as disappointed with the way some of this all happened. I think otherwise we were ready for it. And maybe even the quarterbacks here a little bit, we were kind of ready, not to this extent. I'm not going to say to this extent, but
I wanted to be excited about and draft a Pierre Strong. I really wanted to. I had him on my radar. He was somebody that I really liked as a pass catcher and a runner, and he goes to effing New England. and I now have absolutely zero injury. He is off my draft board officially. Like, unless I have a fifth round pick and I just literally don't know any names at the bottom, I will pick Pierre Strong in the late fifth round.
Yeah, I'm with you there, dude. Sorry, Dave.
Didn't they draft another running back that we were also kind of excited about, not as excited about?
Right?
Yeah. They drafted another two running backs in this year's draft. It's just like, oh my God, New England.
Kevin Harris.
If there was ever anybody still on the fence about staying away from running backs on New England, don't be on the fence anymore. This is a clear indication.
James White.
This is a clear indication.
Five players right now.
Yeah, this is nuts. Yeah, so that's the name that first jumped to my mind. Swag, Pierre Strong.
What about you, Dave?
You know, it's a player we haven't talked about yet, and I'm still pretty higher than him. I think I'm consensus. I'm willing to take him. He's my 16th rookie, so I'm willing to take him around the 204. Even a non-tight end premium. We haven't talked about him yet. Trey McBride. Really, I was really excited about him because I think if you look at the numbers, people were really worried about his athleticism, but he tested great in his pro day. He has incredible production out of Colorado State, but landing behind Zach Ertz was just disheartening. And I know Zach Ertz isn't going to be around forever, but he just got an extension. And I just was really hoping that we'd see some rookie year production from a tight end this year. I know we got spoiled by Kyle Pitts and Freiermuth last year, but I was just really hoping because I think he was being not slept on, but overlooked. People were just rushing for the position players. And to him not to just have an immediate path to targets was just disappointing. I might not be answering the question perfectly, but I just wanted to get his name in here. We haven't talked about him yet. I still think he's a great player, great talent. And I love him being paired with Kyler Murray, but I just don't love that he's not going to be getting as much as we'd like year one.
And you have to wait for an Ertz injury or him to move on at this point.
Well, the one thing I'll say about that is, again, it's a tight end. And I know you alluded to it, Dave, when you were explaining it, but I mean, if you're expecting a whole lot of fantasy production year one or year two, you're looking for an outlier anyway. So, you know, if you look, and I'd have to look at Ertz's contract, but I think somewhere around Trey McBride's third year will be when Ertz is either gone or older, and he'll have that same opportunity every third tight end has. So I think if you like Trey McBride coming in, Kyler Murray stays put. I think you can still like him. I don't think you have to come off of that. I don't really like tight ends this year. Trey McBride is the one I would be interested in. There's other names, but I don't know. I've been kind of really lukewarm with the tight end class this year.
So real quick before Swags jumps in, Zach Ertz, it's basically a 2-year contract. They have a $4 million dead cap after 2023.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. There's your hope.
I have one that might be a little bit controversial, but a lot of it ends up being draft capital. Our rookie draft capital in our rookie mocks or rookie drafts. But it's Chris Olave, and I don't love the Saints spot for a wide receiver of his pedigree. I don't think he is a Garrett Wilson or Jameson Williams, some of those guys. He's a really good wide receiver. He will benefit from somebody like Michael Thomas being able to help him get open, create space, but I don't think he benefits much from Jameson Winston. And honestly, I would like him to have a I'm trying to think of the proper words, but I would like him to have a more mature veteran wide receiver to learn from and lead him. Because I think that that's something that could help a wide receiver like Chris Olave. And I like him, but I don't like him at that, like, after Jameson Williams price, like that 107 to 110. I don't like that. I don't like that. I wish he would have went somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think a lot of people agree with what you just said as far as the very last thing you said. I wish he went somewhere else, because I think that was a name that excellent route runner. And I think it's one of those wide receivers that you wanted to get excited about. And the Saints are really a tough team to get excited about. They didn't want Winston to begin with. They tried everything except Winston. I know he got hurt, but I mean, it almost felt like they just had to this year. And I don't know. And Winston, to your point, is not a good match for Olave. I don't know. It's Saints have really changed fast for me. And the one thing I will say about the Saints, though, is what they were able to do with their cap. They were one of the worst teams in the league cap space wise, and they have a magician over there working. So I wouldn't think the Saints are going to be down for as long as I thought initially. What they were able to do alone with the salary cap was impressive, and it's understated what they were able to do. So these are pieces that we don't know in fantasy, but pieces that absolutely help their team. So sure. I think the Saints will come back. I do. I think a lot of that does hinge on Michael Thomas. I'm starting to believe Michael's his middle name, because every time I hear about Michael Thomas, it's hopefully Michael Thomas comes back. I think his first name's hopefully. Like, it's really strange that it's really odd to me that even myself, I've traded away Michael Thomas shares. I'm just kind of out. Like, I want to be done. It's kind of like a Calvin Ridley feeling. Like, I don't know if he's going to even be around. Now, that makes me a little excited about Olave. If Olave winds up being the guy as soon as, you know, next year, because Michael Thomas has another meltdown or whatever.
It sounds like he's going to be back this time.
It really, truly does. I agree with you. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
I like what you did there.
Mr. Dave, huge shout out. Much appreciation. Love having you back on to do this quick recap with us. This will not be the last time you grace us with your presence. Thank you so much. I also want to shout out a list of freaking people. We've mentioned our player profiles a ton, and those are still like actionable tools. If you go back, start listening to some of those and mix those in with landing spots, see what you like, what you don't like about some of these players. But we had so many people help us out with this. I'm sure I'll try to miss some. I'm not going to try to miss some. I'm sure I'll miss some. But start at the top, Felix Sharp, Katie Flower, Brandon Lejeune, Jason D. Rienzo, John Lobb, Eric Kortz, Matt Bruning, Mark Schofield, Skip Newton, Britt Sanders, Austin. I don't know Austin's last name. At Debbie Dietz, Rich Doxson.
DeWitt? No.
Is it?
I might have messed that up.
Garrett Price, Nerds helped us out a lot. The guys from Canton to Canton. Jason DiRenzo was on a couple times. Dwight Peebles, Nathan Groot, we mentioned on the show today. Matt Hicks, Paul, help me out. Perdukizi, Jeff Bell, man, Kyle Yates, Todd Foster, we mentioned, who does Tale of Two Rivals with Dave. Huge shout out to Finero for doing that too. Huge shout out to Rookie Fever. I'm going to give a shout out to myself. This nice. Has been an amazing show. Dave, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Anything you guys want to say before we get out of here? I'm done. I had a lot of fun with you guys.
I just love that Dave was able to join us on a pretty special episode where we get our first rookie reaction to the 2022 class. Thanks, Dave.
Guys, thank you. Two quick things is that I thought we were going for another 45 minutes. I'm disappointed we didn't get to George Pickens. We didn't get to Rashad White. I'm going to have to tune in for next week when you guys cover him. So I'm excited to listen. And
Leave some meat on the bone.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I mean, this is rookie. It's rookies all year round.
365.
And I'm not sure if this is going to co-op a final thoughts here. Just, I think it's about the people. Fantasy football is about the people you spend your time with, you play in leagues with, and this just coming back reminds me of just like how much fun I have with you guys on here. And I honestly, hopefully that, like Swags alluded to, this isn't the last time. I'm already looking forward to the next time to chop it up with you guys.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'll let the listeners know. I mean, I don't think I know everybody's talking to other people, but there was no more live spot than our old Rookie Fever Voxer chat when we were just talking about stuff through the chat. Like, that was a lot of the spots like I was going to actually have conversation with people throughout the NFL draft. I know Finero was in Vegas eating food and spending money, but I had you guys, and I appreciate you so much. Be sure to follow all lowercase at @FF_spaceman, at @ArtBarkTV, at Rookie Fever. I'm at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever, and we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
got the one-on-one scouting. It's never done this stupid throw and run. I told you anyone size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's for rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever. So she got the fever. And he got the fever. No cure for the fever. So let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
What a lovely way to burn.